The Curse of a Long Life and Its Personal Finance Implications. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Those sculptors of interest rates at the Federal Reserve meet this week to see if the economy's ready for slightly more expensive borrowing. Among factors, unemployment and the number of people who've stopped looking for work out of exasperation or by choice. On Tuesdays, we often consult our analyst from the Heartland, Julie Nieman at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Hi, Julie.
Morning, David.
So we watch with concern as we see these figures showing people dropping out of the American workforce and no longer being included even in the unemployment number. Some of this is by choice, and you're worried about that?
Absolutely. Part of it is that we're not replacing a lot of the jobs that were lost during the recession. A lot of it is because some people decided they're going to retire. They're younger, they're healthy, and they've had fabulous returns in the stock market over the last few years, and they're absolutely certain they can take this money and go out and have a good time.
And you see clients who sometimes want to retire at 62. They could work more. You worry about them?
If you see what the stock market has done, they're sitting on top of a nice packet of money right now. This doesn't mean that the stock market will continue on this way. Bonds are going to continue to return nothing until the Fed starts to move back up again. But these youngsters, as I like to call them, who want to retire early, now want to do all the things they've been wanting to do. They want to spend money. The problem with that is they'll have nothing left over for that very long retirement. People are living into their 80s easily right now. And if you're eating the seed corn, you can't possibly let these investments grow. You're not going to have enough down in the future.
It was one of the most profound points anyone has made on this program over the last year. We worry about dying early, but the problem may be dying when we're older than we expected. Julie Nieman at Smith Moore & Company, thank you.
You bet.
The biggest company in the world, stock price times the number of stocks, reports profits later today. The forecast at Apple, sales of $51 billion, a fair amount of this from China, where the economy's been turbulent. Gigi Duban has more.
There was a time in China when if you loved someone, you'd save up for months to buy this person an iPhone. It was the ultimate gesture and the ultimate status symbol. And all Apple had to do was be Apple. Not anymore.
Basically, the easy money days are over.
That's Minyuan Zhao. She teaches global strategy at the Wharton School. One reason is that as more people have iPhones in China, it becomes less desirable. Plus, even though people there still have plenty of buying power, she says Apple needs to step up its game. Patrick Moorhead, a tech industry analyst, says China's economic slowdown might hit Apple's earnings.
The thing to balance against is that Apple is still growing in China.
So that even if urban areas in eastern China are slowly getting over their luxury brand craze, there are plenty of regions where the iPhone is still a rare gem. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Welcome to the field day romp known as the 2016 presidential campaign fundraising season. The federal agency charged with enforcing campaign finance rules is gridlocked. Republican and Democratic candidates and their super PAC funding aggregators have found new ways to bend the rules. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains how.
It's getting harder and harder to tell who's behind a presidential campaign. Political ads do have blurbs at the end saying who's responsible for them.
Generation Forward PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
New Day Independent Media Committee, Inc. is responsible for the content of this advertising.
But vague, confusing names like that don't tell us much.
It really has become the Wild West of politics, where the money is flowing, super PACs are playing roles that they've never played before.
That's Chris Gates, president of the Sunlight Foundation, which pushes for campaign finance reform. Gates says campaigns and outside groups like super PACs have blurred the line that's supposed to separate them. Gates says super PACs foot the bill for TV ads and do things that used to be the responsibility of campaigns.
Voter ID, get out the vote, purchasing ads, building state organizations.
The Federal Election Commission is supposed to enforce campaign finance rules. It's headed by Ann Ravel.
No question. I thought I could change things.
Ravel became chairwoman of the FEC last December, full of hope. But by February, she'd concluded she couldn't break the gridlock at the FEC. It's made up of three Republicans and three Democrats. They can't agree on much of anything. So Ravel says campaign finance laws aren't enforced.
I think people have to be aware of what the situation is and try to get some kind of change.
Paul S. Ryan is trying to change things. He's senior counsel at the Campaign Legal Center. He's disappointed with not only the FEC, but also the IRS, which he says isn't properly enforcing the tax laws that cover outside groups like super PACs. The IRS wouldn't comment. Ryan says he's filing complaints and lawsuits in a mad scramble.
To be honest, there are so many violations going on out there, we can't keep up with them. We don't have the staff to draft all these complaints.
Ryan says he'll hire more staff, trying to fill the void left by federal regulators who say their hands are tied. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And listen to what an 11-year-old girl did instead of setting up a lemonade stand. Mira Modi of New York City has set up a business to sell hard-to-crack computer passwords at $2 a pop. To generate the random numbers, she rolls a set of dice, hand-rolls them in an artisanal style. The results are then used to generate words that become nonsense phrases to be used as tough passwords. The publication Ars Technica has a nice piece about this, quoting a cybersecurity expert saying, "The system's a decent one." Mira, you are keeping your results secret, right, Mira? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.